Welcome to Your Mind Matters, NPL's first mental health awareness podcast where we discuss mental health and all things related. I am Bassam Habib, the Be Well at NPL program manager here.
And I am Lana Bolijak with the Education and Literacy Department. And today we have a very special guest. We have Miss Pearl Frierson from the Brooklyn Heights Community Garden. Miss Pearl, hello and welcome.
Grand Riches of Rising.
Yes. Ms. Pearl's also cosmetologist.
That's right.
Reflexologist. All the ists.
Qigong.
Teacher.
Practitioner.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a granny. That's my greatest accomplishment. I had a little to do with that, though.
So before we get into the meat of our conversation today, which is about aging well and how aging affects our mental health, we did want to ask you a little icebreaker. We do this with all of our guests. Okay. So we wanted to know, since you run or founded and run the Brooklyn Heights Community Garden, we just wanted to know what your favorite thing to plant is and then your least favorite thing to plant and why.
I've always loved to plant tomatoes. I like to plant like a variety. Mm-hmm. And some that it was, I can't think of the name of them, but they were striped. And then some was purple, some was yellow. So that was intriguing. Plus, it helped the kids in the neighborhood to eat them. At first, I was like, no, we don't like tomatoes. So these were a little round. Some of them looked like little teardrops. So that was super exciting that, you know, that I introduced them to that. And I ate a whole bunch of them also.
Of course.
And the thing I really, really don't like, because it's scratchy, is okra. Mm. Now, I did let other people plant it, and I did harvest it, but it's like it's scratchy. I mean, you know, my skin is sensitive, so it like itches. And that was the only reason I didn't really like it. And I don't really like to eat it, but you know.
Me neither.
I love okra.
Oh, I hate it. I'll eat fried okra.
I can eat fried, but yeah. Rarely.
Yeah. I have like this traumatizing story when I was a little kid. My mom, I loved vegetables, so my parents used to lie to me and tell me that fruits and vegetables were like candy. So I would be like, oh, I want a carrot because I love carrots. They're candy, you know. And so I loved green beans. And one time she was cooking dinner and she had these big green beans. And I was like, ooh, we're having meatloaf and mac and cheese and green beans. And so I put a bunch on my plate. I remember I took a big bite. And it's just slimy. And I was like, oh, what is this? I start crying. I'm like, what am I eating? These aren't green beans. And my mom is like, it's not green beans, it's okra. And I was like, I hate okra. What is this? And that was the one time she would always make me clean my plate. That was the one time she was like, you don't have to eat them. Because I was weeping. I was,
dang. That's so important. You should re-love okra. Rediscover.
That's like a childhood trauma.
It'll heal you. It'll heal you from your childhood trauma. But okra and rice, just like okra and rice, that's, I love it.
Slime.com.
Well, that's cool.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Why don't we? Yeah. Miss Pearl, tell us a little bit more about yourself, what you do, why you do it. We want to get to know you a little bit before we get into this.
Okay. Well, the other things that I do, I'm a life coach and I've had a whole bunch of different businesses, like daycare owner, selling shoes. But the reason why I started Brooklyn Heights Community Garden was because the neighborhood started changing. Some gang members started coming in, influencing the children and stuff like that. Long, long, long story short, somebody got killed. One of the teenagers got killed. And it just impacted me in a way that it was just so painful. Mm-hmm. So I had been doing meditation, mantras, mantras, yoga. So I was in a state of mind that I got to do something while the blood is running warm in my veins. You know, I can't just be like, I hate the gang members. Why are they gang members? You know, why come interact with them? It was just so many questions. So that threw me into some, I didn't want my children to get involved with that. I got 5 daughters. And I was like, I got to do something. So I kept praying and trying to figure out what can I do? Because I was playing with them, doing sports, riding bicycles, helping with their homework, cooking. But I had to do more. So that's how the garden came to be. It was like, okay, we can learn how to nurture the earth which in the process, we're nurturing ourselves. Mm. And so, and have some fun. My main topic is, okay, have fun, then have some more fun, plant some stuff, have some fun, then have some fun.
That garden is really fun, by the way. And it's a beautiful, beautiful space, too. It's like one of the most beautiful spaces, I think, in the city. It's like it's like a three-plot garden. If you've never been to the Brooklyn Heights Community Garden, you go check it out.
Yeah, and it's four plots. My front yard is
four plots.
Yeah. And you come. Beautiful. You always come. You have always come and volunteered.
Oh yeah, the grass cutting day.
Weeding. That was like torture. I don't know why you try to do it.
I just took on way too much.
Yeah. But you did a great job.
Thank you. I don't think I did a great job, but if you think I did a great job, that's all that matters.
Because I used to be the one cutting all 4 yards, and I tried to do it in one day.
Wild. It's impossible. Crazy. That's wild. That's like super, that's almost superhuman strength. For somebody to cut down that much, to mow that much grass, and then to weed eat that much, one person, that's like superhuman strength.
Yeah. So can you imagine? Like,
it's crazy.
Can you imagine? I did that for probably 7-8 years.
That's why you have no wrinkles.
By yourself.
Yep, and then I would incorporate other people because I didn't have any money to pay anybody.
Yeah.
I just had a vision and a dream and a desire to be the change and to speak up. And so that was, when I'm looking back, it was subhuman. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just done it. I enjoyed it. So it wasn't like work.
Yeah. Okay, not subhuman, Miss Pearl.
I mean, that's
superhuman.
Oh my God.
Not subhuman.
What is subhuman anyway? That's an aging brain. What's the definition of subhuman?
Like an animal. Like below human.
Yeah. That's not.
That's what people used to say we were.
OMG. Yeah. So, no. Super.
Superhuman.
Yeah.
Good catch. Sure. Good catch.
More than one human.
Good catch.
In one human body.
Yeah. It just didn't dawn. I mean, I don't know. I just done it.
Yeah.
And it's cool, too, to see, like, all the kids in the neighborhood come and, like, garden and, like, see a potato come out of the ground or, like, see, like, the tomatoes coming
it's
up.
A potato.
Yeah.
Because they did not know where that food came from.
Yeah.
You know, they just assumed it came from the store.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
They didn't know that you could grow it. And so even myself, when I first started growing, it took me a while. I'm not going to lie. It took me a while to eat it. I was like,
Yeah.
I don't know. And so with them, they was like, we okay. So I just started in the garden. In the while we out there, I would just pick something, wipe it off, or take the hose pipe and wash it and just pop it in my mouth. They was like, nah, we good. Finally, they started doing it. Mm-hmm. And then I would look out the window. I see them out there picking it on their own. So,
yeah, that's like, I feel like that's how you like really empower people to like people grow their own food.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what they're eating.
Oh, yeah.
So that people know like what is like where it even comes from. That's like one of the best ways to like really empower like the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're definitely doing that for the Brooklyn Heights neighborhood. So,
yeah, for sure.
Well,
pretty
thank
cool.
You.
That's pretty cool.
When did you start the garden?
I started 2008. Then I want to say I got the nonprofit started like 2014.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I just have a general question just about, because I mean, I feel like a lot of people, maybe there's people who feel as if they haven't started something in this, like in this point in time in their life, that they don't even try. Mm-hmm. And like, how do you, like, was that something that you considered like, oh, like, I've done all of these other things. Maybe I'm past the age of being able to like start something like a community garden. Was that ever something that you considered?
Shoot, no. This is the thing about me. What's his name? Not Tupac Shakur. What's his name? Deepak Chopra.
Deepak Chopra?
I get them mixed up. That's an aging brain.
Yeah. Really easy to get Deepak Chopra and Tupac Shakur mixed. For sure.
But I was 36 and I never forget, I lived in public housing. And I was 36, and he said aging is a concept that we've all bought into.
Mm.
And I said, you can pick whatever age you want to be and be that age forever. I said, you know what? I'm going to be 36. That's the age I picked, only because I was 36 that day. And I promise you, I don't feel nothing is impossible. I don't feel like, even my body, like one thing I'm doing now, I'm doing a Tough Mudder's race where you train and you carry this 35 pounds of sand on your shoulder. And you go through all these obstacles and mud and you pull your weight. I'm doing it in October. So age has never been a part of my vision or illusion or mind. It's always been like, if I want to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Do you think it's like more of the mindset that influences? Because obviously your body ages, right? Like obviously like, you know, your knees, your back, something like that. But for you, it hasn't been. So what do you think? Like, is it like the mindset that you adopted when you were like 36 where you're like, all right, this is it for the rest, you know, for the rest of my life, I'm going to.
And that because of my mindset and because I decided that one day I'm just going up and die. I'm not going to die of no high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, heart trouble. I'm just going to be, it's going to be my time to be gone when the universe, God, or however, I don't know exactly how, you use about your chi. When you use about your chi, bye-bye. Your physical body is no more. But your spirit, of course, lives on. So when I did get sick, I had high blood pressure. I had an L4 and L5 rupture. I had insomnia, constipation. So I'm like, this is not the way I'm going to live. So I started reading books about how to heal. Because I read somewhere it says your body regenerates new cells every 9 months. I forgot exactly. Every organ regenerates. But what we do with our minds, we bring that same old sickness with us. Right now, my blood pressure this morning, because I told my doctor, I'm getting off this high blood pressure medicine, with or without you, and she loves me, and I love her. It's like we got a doctor-patient relationship / mother-daughter, because she'll sit there and talk to me for hours, for at least 30 minutes to an hour. Anyway, so she put me on this program where they monitor my blood pressure every morning. I have to do it like 3 or 4 times a day. I said, deal. This morning it was 118 over 75. I have not taken high blood pressure meds in about, first it was a year. Then I started getting mad about stuff. Then I got back on high blood pressure meds because my blood pressure was like 140, 150 over 90 something, 92. So I had to take blood pressure meds again. But this time around it's been about 2 weeks since I've taken, 2 or 3 weeks. Because I'm determined, I'm just going to live, then I'm going to go on to glory, wherever that is. And with my knees, this sounds bizarre, but there's so many different natural health remedies, and I don't denounce Western medicine. By all means, if you need it, go utilize it. But what I do both. I do natural and the Western. So with the knees, y'all listen up. Take the outside of the cabbage. Take that and stick that on them knees and wrap it with saran wrap. I wrap my saran wrap, then I wrap it with a ace bandage and go to sleep. I'm bionic woman the next day.
Oh, my God.
It works. You saw how I was coming up them steps? I didn't want to, but I was like, you know, it's all right.
No, I see you, like, move in ways where I've never seen anybody over the age of 50 move. And I'm like, how is that happening? Like, you have to have, like, a secret stash of, like, steroids or something like that you secretly like inject.
No, I do then... Qigong. I do Qigong, lymphatic drain, deep breathing. I do my mental health stuff of, because I get mad. And when I get mad, it's okay, well, what am I mad about? And I will talk it through with myself. What I've learned in these last 5 years, I don't share it. Because usually when I get mad, I call, girl, guess what? Then I put that out in the universe. So now I'd be like, yeah, I'm mad at so-and-so and so-and-so. I use a lot of curse words. Then I write it out. What did I do? What exactly happened? Why am I saying they got me mad? Because nobody can get you mad. You can get yourself mad. Nobody can make you happy. You have to make yourself happy. But we look outside ourselves. So when I was beginning mad, okay, this is an example. This is TMI. My children have spoiled me. Like, they just, whatever I say, they do. So one day they decide not to. I was like, this is not going to fly. So I would call my daughter. I call her Tuki. I said, Tuki, Mama, I got a car, right? I was like, Mama wants you to go to the grocery store. So she, at the time, she was living in Antioch, and I lived down, like, downtown. So she's like, no, Mama, I'm not going. So I said, this is what I want. I didn't hear the no, I'm not going. I just heard going. So I so I took it. I gave her my whole list. Then she's, Mama, you're not listening. I said, see you later. So I hung the phone up. Then it dawned on me, she said no. So I called her back. I said, Rat, when I'm mad, I call her Rat. Rat, did you tell me? She's mama, you got to go out. And the store is closer than I am. I was so mad, I called those sisters. Guess what she done? She told me. They said, good. I hung up their face. Boom. Then they put me in a text. Mama, what's going on with you? That was so cruel. But it made me realize, yeah, I need to stop. That was not good. So I don't do it anymore.
Do you think, like, anger and control and, like, all, like, those types of feelings and emotions, like, shorten your life, like, or like, have, like, a bad impact?
It has a negative effect.
Like, just not only, like, on the way, like, your health, like, immediately, because I know, like, it raises your blood pressure and, like, there's all, like, diseases come up with anger, too, and stuff like that, but, like, if you, like, don't make a truce with somebody or if you don't make a truce about it with yourself, like, do you think it kind of, like, rots you from the inside, like, or, like, robs you of the chi or, like, robs you of the life that you have?
For sure. See, and even, okay, with the anger, it affects your liver. And I'm trying to make sure I got it right. I know it affects your liver, your fear, your kidney. You can be too happy and it affects your heart. Because it's supposed to be a balance. Yeah, and so I noticed that when I was angry, that my joints burned. They always was like, ouch. The inflammation, because it gets stored in your muscles, in your joints. Even it constricts your blood flow, because when you get angry, just act, play like you're angry, you tense up.
Yeah.
So, of course, it decreases your lifespan or your ability to be happy or your ability to be functioning. Because when you're angry, most thing you want to do is eat, at least me, eat, or sometimes I try to sleep. And so what I done, because I used to be real depressed, yeah, that's one thing I got over was depression. Mm-hmm. And the way I got over it, every time I felt that sad, sinking feeling, I would go, I don't care what time of night it was or day, I'll just go outside and run. It's a church up the street. I'll just run to the church, run back. It's a certain era, I mean, this is TMI again. My children, at nighttime, don't want me to go. Well, they not my boss. They are not my boss.
No, you made them.
Yeah.
You made them.
But so. We got an agreement that at nighttime, I can only go to the church and then to the corner. So when I felt myself being so depressed, I would ask myself, you know, what I'm sad about, what I'm mad about, what I'm angry, what's bothering me? Instead of eating, I would just run or walk. Or jump rope, or now I can just go two houses down and play with some children, you know.
Yeah.
Or I'll come outside and weed. But I would do something to make my brain stop feeling sad. But the sadness is real, so I write out, what am I sad about? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would be sad about, I had these dreams of, you know, finishing my four books up, turn my house into an Airbnb, but the attic, get the attic finished off. So all those things is floating around in my head. Instead of me just doing one, finishing that, doing another, I would just let it all float around, so I start feeling like, dude, I ain't doing nothing, which I do a whole lot of stuff. But now I do it in an organized state. Even my finances, budgeting, that was something that always made me depressed. Mm. Phew! But now I have my granddaughter helping me, so I took that pressure off.
Yeah. The overwhelm.
That's great advice. I mean, as someone who struggles with depression, it's like, it's so easy to just want to sit in it.
Right.
And like feel kind of like shut down kind of and dissociate from it. And I love that you said that you'll go out and you'll do something active, but to get your mind off. But you also realize that the sadness is real. It's something.
It's real.
And so I still have to address that. But getting myself out of the funk so that I can address it.
Right, that's key. And the main thing with the depression is that I didn't notice it's a choice. I was like, what? Because a lot of people are like, depression is real. It is real. Being happy is real. Being productive is real. Being non-productive is real. So we have a choice. But the main thing I done that made sense was for me to start moving. I have not been depressed, knock on wood, for about 14, 15 years. And then because I started doing a yoga, and I started eating a certain way. And then I started, which I still eat late sometimes, but I do my best not to eat after 7 or 8 o'clock. And for 6 weeks with the Qigong, I'll go 6 weeks at a time and clean my whole system out. The sugar, meat, dairy, junk food. I never drink alcohol, but cold drinks and stuff like that. Anything that's not just straight healthy food, I'll just take it out. And then certain foods, I'll give y'all the information about. It's called Qigong, the Dragon's Way. Man, it's dynamic. It has changed my whole life because my kidneys was failing. They said it was at 60%. It's on the increased healing. And so my doctor called me. She was like, these numbers have changed. What are you doing? And I told her that I'm doing the Qigong. It's called the Dragon's Way, eating certain foods to heal.
Can you kind of like talk about, like break that down a little bit? Like how like your diet is affecting, how your diet has affected like not only your mental health, but you like aging well? Because in my opinion, you're aging very well. Like, I would aspire to age like how you are. So, like, what changed? Like, what did you do? Like, what were you doing that was, like, really bad? And then what changed? Like, what's the Qigong Dragon's Way, like, even talking about? It's a lot.
Well, okay, so what I was doing first, if I had my way, I would eat every day Häagen-Dazs butter pecan ice cream mixed with chocolate.
You sound like my dad.
Butter pecan ice cream and some Spanish peanuts. I would eat that all day and every day. But what happened was I was doing that, so I was always tired. I was always snappy. I was angry, and I was longing. I read somewhere it says when you don't get the sweetness of life, you get it through your food, your junk food.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I was not giving the sweetness of life because I was not giving it. I was not getting it. I had gotten mad about a bunch of stuff and was just holding on to it. And so I decided, I said, hold on, I'm going to do something about this. And so I started just reading Louise Hayes, the late Miss Louise Hayes, You Can Heal Your Life. And it's another book by her. Look it up. I started reading those and just affirmations and confirmations about, I wrote down everything that was wrong, the high blood pressure, the diabetes, depression, the insomnia, especially insomnia. I kept saying, God, if this is where I'm going to die, let me go on. Phew, insomnia is like two devils.
Yeah.
And a hyena. I don't know. It's horrible.
Yeah.
You'll be sound asleep for about 30, 40 minutes. Poop. Your eye open up and you just feel like, God, I'm sleepy. But you can't go to sleep. And so all that's changed. And what I've done, this lady came, I never forget, this lady came to Brooklyn Heights Community Garden, and she was helping us get high tunnels to grow the vegetables in. And the first time I met her, she had a big old pot belly. So this time she didn't have one. I was like, I'm going to wait till we get a little bit closer so I can be personable with her. So I was talking about random stuff. Then it just came out, how'd you lose your belly? And so she didn't want to introduce me, Miss Darlene, she didn't want to introduce me to Qigong's way. It's called... The book is misleading by the title. It says, A Natural Way to Weight Loss, a Traditional Chinese Medicine. But it's not about weight loss. It's about getting your five organs, your heart, liver, kidneys, spleen, and lungs back balanced. That's where the depression is coming from, because it's an imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
That's where anger and all the illnesses come from. Not having balance within those five major organs. So, because usually when your kidneys start to decline, it declines. They say I was at stage 2 kidney.
Renal.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's fine. We're going to stage it back up to 1. We're going to stage it back up to heal. So.
Yeah, once the kidney starts going out, it's like a fast track for a lot of people.
And so mine is not. Yeah. So mine is back healing.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, and so I got, they call it receipts. I got the receipts stating that. That come from a TikTok.
Got the receipt.
Yeah, but see, because in the Bible it says that we can heal, which I'm not religious, but I'm more so spiritual. But it says you can heal thyself.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it in there if we're not doing it? We got to take it upon ourselves to heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as easy as I'm saying it. You read a book, you can look at TikTok, get some stuff, look at Facebook, go Google it, and just write down every illness you got, and then find a solution. Go to the doctor, you know, so you can get a plan in place. That's what I've done. I said 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I can't remember exactly. But I had gotten lost. And my mind had completely left me. Mm. But the only number I remember was my daughter who lived in California. I vividly remembered her number. But I didn't have no name with her. I knew she was my daughter. And so I called and I was screaming out and crying because I don't know where I was at. I drove somewhere. And I didn't know where I was at. And I had no thoughts in my head. And I was like, I'm just screaming, scared. Crying. Yeah, I'm screaming. She comes to Mama. And I start thinking, my name, Mama? And I was just, because I play all the time. She kept laughing at first. She said, Mom, what are you doing? But then she realized that I was in trouble. And so she says, okay, just calm down, look around. So because how calm she had calmed me down, boop, my mind came back. I said, I'm on Charlotte Avenue. Stay on the phone. And I drove on. I said, I'm changing this to S-H-I-T. You know what I mean? I'm changing this. This ain't happening again. So that's when I started really, really stop eating all the sugar, work on getting me a companion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I was longing for. Somebody to, you know, ride bike, two loop, jump rope, pull some weeds, cook, laugh, do other good stuff. LOL. And so, but I was piling on sugar. I was just eating sugar every meal. Sometimes I would just eat 2 or 3 cannonballs in a day. Mm-hmm. And my body couldn't process all that.
Yeah.
Dang. You know? Mm-hmm. How important is that? Like the companion aspect of getting older or maybe for some people like community? Or is it really important to have like one person that you do that with or more of a community? Like,
and see, in my case, it's a community. But when you be romantic, you don't want to be a community romantic.
Oh, your community romances can get a little messy
tricky.
For a lot of people.
Well, I decline. But I have an enormous amount of people who overly love me, and they love me from the depths of their being just because. And so I'm grateful in that area. And then I have like 5 brothers, 4 sisters, 5 daughters, 6 grandbabies, over 45, 55 nieces and nephews, over 300, 400, first, second, third, fourth, fifth cousins.
Wow. Dang, Miss Pearl, you're like Abraham.
Oh, my God.
So you see what I'm saying? And then just some people I don't even know, they've heard of what the work I do, which, to be honest, this is my purposeful work. I don't know why it's like, you know, people think it's a big old something. It's just it brings me joy.
Yeah.
And it's something that I came to the world to do, like being a mama. That's one of the greatest gifts that I got from the universe, is being a mama. And then I was a mama to a whole bunch of people. It was just natural and normal. I didn't put no effort into it, to be honest, but they were like, you did so much. I'm like, okay. It just was normal. It was just my norm.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I made a bunch of mistakes, too, but I, knock on wood, I did a whole lot of good stuff right, you know.
Yeah, I've known you for like 3 years, and you make me so mad to be... No, I'm just kidding.
I kind of want to shift gears a tiny bit.
Okay.
I was thinking about how... So me and my dad, we have a lot of conversations about him, because he's just turned 66, and he... it's almost like every week there's like a new friend or family member that has passed. And like, I know we used to, when we would go to church, my uncle would come to church and he'd be like, oh, you heard so-and-so die last weekend. It was like every week.
Right.
And he had said something to me like, you know, the older I get, it's like I'm just losing people left and right. And I just wondered your perspective on that. Like with aging, a lot of the time comes losing people. We all have to go at some point. And like, how does that affect someone who it's like, man, like all these people I grew up with or all these people I used to know, a lot of them aren't here anymore. Like, how does that affect your mental
state?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you the truth. A lot of my friends have passed on. And of course, you wish they could stay forever. But a lot of them were sick, and I was grateful that they went on. Not suffer anymore. Being my own mama, I was, you know, I had to take care of her. I was glad she wasn't suffering anymore. I don't know if that sounds right. You miss them, but I don't know. It's like my neighbor. He had his cousin die over there, his friend die over there. You feel the pain, but I know how to release the the pain out of my body through the lymphatic drain, the jumping up and down, the writing it down, so it doesn't stay with me.
Mm.
You know, I experience it, and it's gone. You know, it'd be like it's a part of the process of living.
Yeah.
Because to me, they still lives on, but the memories.
Mm.
You know, so, and then a lot of them on Facebook, it might sound a little morbid, but go back through Facebook, you'll see them. That's their image, but they're physically gone, right? But they still, the image is still there, so you still interact with them if that's what you chose to do. But I was like suffering from holding on to stuff.
Yeah.
So when my friends leave, I learned that when your chi is gone, it's time for you to go on. But nothing really dies. It changes form.
Hmm.
Do you think that there's people that get older, especially like men or like people that are kind of like have this professional like kind of view on life, like they don't jump up and down, or like they don't release, or they're not even really like releasing emotions a lot of the time.
Right, because they're not aware. See, a lot of people buy into the concept of aging as we've been introduced to it, or as we have been taught from day one. I kept saying, I'm good. I stick and run. I'm a legend in the sense of I can beat almost all the little children in our neighborhood running.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, she cheating. I said, how am I cheating? I'm just running. And they're like, your shoes. So I take my shoes off. So I start teaching all them qigong, lymphatic drain. So almost all of them know about how to release the poison. And I was teaching them also how to interact with each other, because they talk negative, unbeknownst. You big old head thing, wear your shoes dirty. They don't even know that that's being condescending. But what you put out there is what you bring back to yourself. Mm-hmm. And everybody that I come in contact with is a part of me to some capacity, because we all human, I reckon. So, and that's how I live. Even with the homeless, I had about 2 or 3 homeless camps, which they have dismantled them. So they're not in the neighborhood anymore. But before it was popular, about 25 years ago, I had about three homeless camps that I would interact with. Everybody said, girl, they'll try to kill you. But I had safety measures. I would go with somebody, but I never would leave. You know, I'd make sure I'd be in light where my car was at, make sure the car is pointed so I can jump in and exit. So, but they was, I was one paycheck away from being homeless also.
Yeah.
So I decided to help them.
Yeah, that's definitely like pearl of wisdom right there. How you talk to people is what comes back. What you put out is what comes back to you.
Yeah. What is it? You mentioned the Bible, and it just pops up. Because my dad's a pastor. But it's out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So like everything that's in here.
Oh wow, wow.
Is what comes out. So when you're filling yourself with good things, it's what comes out. When you're filling yourself with ugly things, a lot of the time, that's what comes out.
Mm-hmm. And don't get it twisted now, because I will. When I was younger, I would just turn the other cheek. I'll hit your side of your head with a rock and come by and mean it with some force.
Mm-hmm.
But I will pre-warn you, back up, you know, because it's a time, place for all things. And see, that's the balance.
Yeah.
Don't just let somebody beat you down. I didn't know that at first. I was just letting somebody beat me down because I think I'm being godly, being more Christian, all that stuff. And it wasn't. So I learned that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a struggle for me, but I think for a lot of people growing up too, is where do you, that balance of like the people pleasing, don't let somebody walk all over you, beat you down, and the like, I don't know how, what to call, like the assertiveness of,
balancing.
So it's called having healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so, and it took me a long time, because I had, if everybody who ever lived with me line up, we probably could go from, and I know at least 20, 30 miles. I know, because I don't have everybody and their grandmama live with me, because I thought I was helping them. And at my expense, though, because most of them, one guy, this is a true story, this is how green a lemon I was, however you call it. Every week, I lost my paycheck. What? I was believing him.
Mm.
And he was losing his paycheck. That's when we got paychecks, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, so what are you going to do? I don't know. The next week, that third time, I said, well, let me tell you something. You go find your check, and that's why I'll let you back in here. Otherwise, you're not coming back. He thought about it like, ooh. Because it went 3 times. He should have done it once, skipped 2, 3 times.
Yeah, he wasn't very good at scamming you.
But he did good 2 times. I was like, you lost your paycheck. Can you get another one? I was just devastated. To one of my children, mama. He ain't use no paycheck.
Yeah. I wonder, like, your opinion on, like, what it means to, like, just grow up, right? Like, you've heard, like, how there are people who are older, but they're not necessarily wiser.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like when I was young, it's like, oh, listen to your elders because they're wise. But some of our elders are not, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what does that mean to you? Like, have you encountered people who it's like, like, you're a little too old to be
acting like this?
Yeah.
And even myself, like, I'm childlike, and I've been like this. First, I kept trying to change it. This is my norm. I like to go out there and play with them children. I like to laugh, talk, and giggle. That's just, it makes me feel good. But I learned how to be financially stable, how to engage, how to own my stuff. See, the average person, because most times you tell a child, there's three children here. It's somebody done drunk some milk up. Somebody done waste the milk. I didn't do it. No, I didn't. One of them done it, but they won't own up to it because they're afraid of the consequences or they just ashamed or guilty, whatever the reason. So an adult who normally doesn't grow up, they call them narcissists and other stuff.
Oh.
Because they don't own up to crap. I have a house that I rent out years ago. It was a person there who never would own up to what he done. And so that made me start going down the rabbit hole. What is narcissism? What is this? What kind of behavior is this? What happened to him that made him refuse to own up because of guilt or because of the punishment? So I started looking through it. Then I learned how to interact with him, ask him questions instead of saying, you did this, or why did you do? I would just ask him some questions without any emotions into it. And I would just tell him, okay, listen, there's no right or wrong. And I would just work with him. Me and him became good buddies. But it took a long time because I was like mad at him too. I was like, how dare you tell my stuff? You know, just acting crazy like he was acting crazy. I was like, this ain't happening because it made my stomach hurt.
Mm.
And so, but it helped me to grow up. Because I do stuff.
Dang, that's like so, you're like, you just like cut it clear. Like, because most people would be like, oh, narcissism is like a real psychological like disorder. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like that's what most people would say. But you just kind of took the straight line to it. You're like, people that don't grow up are narcissists. That's pretty much true.
Like, yeah, because they learn how to manipulate, just do stuff. Because one guy who is a narcissist, he always telling me, getting mad at me by looking at my TikToks, and he'll say, you're a narcissist. What? Because on my TikTok, y'all got to look at it. It's Miss Pearl's Garden. That's my handle.
Mm-hmm.
I just be on having fun. Sometimes, you know, I might say something profound, very rare. I just like to have fun on that. And I just like to live my life out loud. You know, and so all this labeling, because people label me so much, it's fine, but that's not where I'm at,
mm-hmm.
you know. But most people, when they don't grow up, it's because of different lessons that they keep repeating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been around in Nashville for a minute now to see, like, Nashville grow and, like, mm-hmm. different laws and systemic things happening and how that has affected people and how that's affected communities in Nashville.
Mm.
Do you think it's harder for, like, some people to work their way out of, like, homelessness, for example, than others, or work their way out of depression than others? Like, where? Like,
yeah. See, let me tell you something. Let's say it again. It's all up to the individual.
Mm.
Nobody can suppress you. Nobody can beat you down. It's how you think about what are they doing. Like, all the gentrification is happening in my neighborhood. I always go up to the builders and talk to them. Get that information, and I'll utilize it. Can y'all bring some gravel down here? Can y'all hire some people? Mm. How'd y'all get over here? What y'all? And I just talk to them because we all in this life together, and not a lot of people. Things are wrong. The neighborhoods was all ran down. Mm. And some people do have more of an opportunity because of they start out with more money or more education. I got a nephew who was well off. He had no more background, you know, his mother was a working class mama, and my brother working class man, you know, and so, but what he done, he immersed himself in finances, so he know how money work. So now he buy apartments.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, so it's up to the individual, and then some people need a little more help. That's why I make sure that I still help people, but yeah. not at my expense. If you live in one of my, you know, in my house, you got to pay. I used to be like, oh, well, maybe next time. No. No. We got contracts. You see what I'm saying? So it's up to the, and they all come up to task. But if you let somebody slack, they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's up to the individual. Now, it's a whole lot of different circumstances or situations.
Yeah.
If, to me, if you're mental and don't know you're mental, mm-hmm. you need some help.
I struggle a lot with, like, environmental, like, for example, like, racism. Like, that definitely, like, gets to me, and I'm like, oh, man, like, you know, that's definitely happening. It's, like, affecting my mental health, and, like, I wish it wasn't happening so that I could feel better. But you're saying it's more how I think about it, so.
Yeah, because my thing is this. He has a right to be racist. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
So I go in all kind of circles. Everybody's like, how do you interact with them people? Like I interact with you. Mm-hmm. They just people. So when they, sometimes people say condescending stuff with me, to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes I give them back some stuff. One man, I told him, it was the police. I said, I'm going to give you an opportunity to correct what you just said to me.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me. I looked at him. He looked at me. Then he said nothing. But he knew not to say nothing else. Condescending. Because he was out of order. I said, I'm going to give you a chance. And that's how I said, if I ask the police, he was out of order. He came to my house to help somebody. I was taking care of some mental people, disabled people. So he came in my space talking smart and fucking stupid. I just said, I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to give you a minute to think about what you just said. He did, and then the other police just looked at him. He looked at me. I looked at him. And we were just looking.
At
we was
other.
Lookers. We always lookers. But I diffused it because I didn't. My thing is, he had a right to say that. True. If he want to be racist, that's his right. But I have a right not to absorb it and not to be racist. And then when people say ignorant stuff to me, that's their right. I give them that right. Since 2020, I've been giving everybody a pass. You just got to change your mindset about it.
I know.
Because I know it's there. I know it's there. But it ain't got nothing to do with me. And all I'm doing is spreading some love, joy, and happiness. Because I'm human.
Yeah, that's like, I guess it's the not like fighting the fire with fire kind of thing. It's just like having like, you know, loving your neighbor, having like the understanding and the compassion and the forgiveness and like all of that, I feel like.
That and you're only in control of you.
That's
and
it.
It's like realizing that I can't control how other people respond to me. I can control how I respond to them. Yeah. Like when you encounter people, in my opinion, when you encounter people who are racist, like, well, now I know. And now I can choose to not be around you. And then I don't have to think about you at all. And that's a weight off of my shoulders, you know.
Nice control, I guess. I'm not in control of anything except for my own life.
There you go.
To remember.
Yes.
I forget that. I forget that a lot. I'm going to get there, though. I'll just keep hanging out with you.
And this is what you do. You forgive yourself every time something happens. I'm still a work in progress, but I've gotten a lot out, and I'm happy. I'm really happy. I'm not content, but I'm satisfied with the way my life is going. Because what I've done, I learned how to forgive myself. And I learned how to go in my closet, go on the back deck, and write out, what are you mad about, what are you sad about, what are you happy about, and be grateful. And then I start my day off with a gratitude prayer. And I'd be like, when I get really depressed, I used to, I'll just say, I'm grateful for my hair, my eyes, my nose. I'll just pick stuff about me. And then I'll go broader about my children. And I'll just, whatever it was that was making me happy, I'll just keep on till that was how I resonated. I brought my vibration up. Mm-hmm. There's so many tools out there. Listen to frequencies, affirmations, confirmations, mantras, learning. Go to a life coach. Go to a therapist. Go to a counselor. Get help. And then help yourself. Read some books. Do something different. Stay off of, I did have to do this. I had to stay off of, it's a word game that I was doing on Facebook. You got like 10, 15 seconds and you're playing against somebody. That was so much fun. But I had to get off of that because that's all I would do all day.
Mm.
Just be on that thing. So I'm going to start me up a Scrabble club. I got two Scrabble boards.
Oh.
I love Scrabble.
We can do that here.
You've been talking about a Scrabble club for a while now.
So we got to make it happen. I love Scrabble.
That's a look. That's a new venture now.
I can have it here.
New Be Well programming right
Let's
there.
I'm for real, because I love Scrabble.
That'd be awesome.
I love Scrabble. But people don't play with them little piece of wood no more. They play electronic and message your brain.
Yeah, that'd be awesome to have a Scrabble club here.
It would.
I'm for real.
I would join.
Okay.
Since we kind of like deviated talking about like how like racism and how people maybe treat you and how you can control that, I was curious about your experience as you've gotten older. Have you experienced any ageism? Like, do you feel like younger generations like treat you differently or ignore you or like invalidate you at all?
Oh, shoot, no. They be calling me, text me, can you come to the party? I'm like, Miss Pearl don't want, what time is it? What time is the party? And see, but this would happen one time, I never forget, I was feeling sad. And I said, I want me some friends to garden, ride bikes. These little children been living down the street for like 2 or 3 years, and we just wait. I'm not kidding, that next day or two or that same week, knocking on the door, Miss Pearl, can you come outside and play? And I was like, God, that was funny. Mm-hmm. Next time I'm going to say, I want my friends to be able to drink beer, you know, and drive. So no, and it's how you think about it.
Yeah.
Nobody, no. Yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, like, have you ever had conversations with people who are older who have said to you, like, you know, I don't feel seen as I've gotten older, or, you know, or I feel disrespected as I've gotten older. Like, how have you, if you have had those interactions, how have you given them advice?
Because I've got friends, but they see what it is. It's your mindset. What you think is what comes upon you. What you working with, dealing with, fighting with, weeding out or not weeding out, is what you're going to create. So I got a friend. Them boys and stuff, with their pants all hanging down, they a mess. They disrespect. I don't say nothing to them. And I go around, hey, how y'all doing? What your butt doing now? And they'll either pull it up or size me up, or somebody be like, man, leave alone. You know, because I ain't scared of y'all, but I'm not trying to buck you either. Mm-hmm. She's like, I wouldn't say nothing. You didn't say nothing. I said something. And most of the time, they'll pull them up. They'll pull them right back down as soon as I leave, though. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But they knew that, they know that I care. Now, when I walk past, they pull them up. I ain't got to say nothing. Because they know. But that's their choice to have that butt out. But why? And so some of my women ask, it's a style to them. They not thinking about being disrespectful or nothing like that. It's just like the sign of the times. Because I know some older men who be having their pants down.
Yeah.
You're like the most empowered person I know. Like you have, I think that's the cure to it, is like, you like have figured out not to let anything get to you or bother you. It seems like the more that we talk, that's kind of like your secret. It's like you just kind of like, don't let it, you don't let anything affect you.
It took me years because I was a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that happened that hurt me, it hurt deep. I had some people that I just knew was my road dogs. And I was like, I was catering to them. And they was my best, in my mind, in my heart. But then I realized they wasn't. And so that's when I said, okay, it's time me put on my big girl shoes. I said drawers. I didn't say shoes. Put them on and find out why come I'm not honoring myself and giving all my power to somebody else. And so even with the people that I was doing that with, I just wrote them a letter and said, our time has come. I'm good with that. And I took them out of my phone. I took their names out of my telephone. And it took a lot of me to just do that. But I ain't mad. Now, when they do call, I'm like, who's calling? I ain't going to lie. I will tell a lie sometimes. My phone didn't bring your phone name up. I didn't say I took your phone. I took your phone. But that phone will.
That's a little light duty people pleasing.
Yeah.
It's a little light duty.
It's a lie.
Save
it's
feelings.
Yeah.
It's a little white lies.
But my phone did. When I did get a new phone, a lot of numbers didn't get transferred over. But I know the people that I did take their phone number out of my phone. I did that on purpose because I'm good. When I call you, you're always negative towards me, about me. I'm like, mm-mm.
Dang. Mm-hmm. And that's hard, though. Sometimes that loss is hard. Like, yeah. to take somebody out of your phone. Like,
oh, I could never.
I don't think I could.
And I write them a letter so I can, because it's they're part of me. They're part of my core. They're part of my muscles, my memory, the way I move, the way I think. So I just write them a letter. Yeah. And I curse them out in the letter. And I say nice stuff, and I say bad stuff, and I say what made me get to this point, and I'm good. And I'm like, I'm not mad at you no more. I forgive myself. And most of them, when I take them out, they don't call me no more. But some of them still will circle back around when they need something or want something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's okay if they ask. And what I do, I give myself, I say, let me get back with you. Let me check my calendar, which I already know my calendar most of the time. But that give me a moment to say, no, instead of, okay.
Yeah.
Then try to track back. No. So the power is, I don't have to say yes, but I still do it. So I'm still, you know. But I will go back and say, I decided not to.
Yeah.
Do you have any regrets?
I don't have any regrets. Everything I've done, I did.
You regret nothing?
I have no regrets. I take it back. I take that back. It was this guy that I should have married him.
Oh, my God.
But my children.
What's this story?
My oldest two was in college. They was away in college. So I had three home. And anyway, that guy, I liked him a lot. He liked me a whole lot. But he kept saying that my children couldn't come home, that they had to go. What? They 18, 17, 18. No, they wasn't ready to be on their own. Yeah. You know? And so, I could have dealt with him and talked with him, I think. Because after he did apologize to me, he says, you know, I was just thinking money-wise. I wasn't thinking that they was a part of you, that they need to be with you. I said, no problem. But I was like, I'm done. I'm supersonic done with you.
Supersonic. Oh, my God.
He was a wonderful guy. Still is a wonderful guy, but he married somebody.
You want a good father, too, right? Like, you would want somebody that's
who
not
wants
like,
your kids,
you know,
around. Yeah, that's like, a red
right.
flag, too.
Because we came as a package deal.
Mm.
You know, and I don't want my, you know, somebody there thinking that my children will be a burden, mm-hmm. or they have a right to come home. No, they got to come home. And they got to live here till they get stabilized on their feet, which my daughter's knocking wood. They've done a good job.
Yeah. I just want to ask you if there is anything that our listeners that you want to impart or share, any advice that you've ever heard, any wisdom that you've ever gotten, or anything just changed your life. Some pearls from Pearl. Anything that you want to share before we go?
Don't stop learning. And one thing I say is live your best life out loud. Go see me on Miss Pearl's Garden and my Facebook, Nella Pearl Frierson. I live out loud. That means whatever I want to do, I do it within the confines of not hurting myself and hurting somebody else. You know, so don't be afraid to, right now you want to open up a shop with all different types of rice. Do it. You want to go horseback ride. Do it. You know, and, you know, of course, make sure you okay with your doctors or however you want to do it, or get yourself physically ready to do anything that's physical. Don't be a fool and just put on some roller skates and you know you got arthritis. But just do it. Just get outside the box, get outside your mind, and just decide, okay, I'm going to write. And just write. It don't have to be like fantabulous right off the bat. Just do it. Your muse will come. But that's what most people, I got a friend, she want to buy some old houses. She got the money, but she's still afraid. She's a millionaire. She's afraid. She's got the money in the bank. So just do it. Just move. If you don't know how, contact me. I'll teach you Qigong, lymphatic drain. We'll do this thing, but we have to barter because I used to do everything for free. Ain't nothing in life for free but air, and it's getting scarce.
Mm-hmm. Water and air is expensive.
Hello.
Oh, well, Miss Pearl, thank you so much
coming
on the podcast. This has been enlightening. This is my first time meeting you, but Bassam, he's been singing your praises for a really long time.
Yeah. So. You're honestly, like, I hope everybody feels as empowered as you.
Yeah.
I think the world would be a better place.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And remember,
your mind matters.